Heath Pepper, and I'm the publisher and owner of Rough Draft Atlanta.
What inspired you to create Rough Draft Atlanta?
Well, it's an interesting journey. I grew up in media. I grew up in a media-obsessed household. We used to get three morning newspapers every morning at our house. And in high school, I personally subscribed to the afternoon paper, back when Atlanta had an afternoon newspaper. I personally subscribed to that because obviously three newspapers wasn't enough per day back in that day. So I went to journalism school, or worked in at a major radio station in Atlanta when I was in high school, and then all through college at the University of Georgia. And then after college, I produced the morning show at WSB Radio for a little bit after college, and then decided to leave the industry and leave Atlanta. Ended up in New York at the turn of Y2K, and started working in digital, in internet startups, mostly in and around digital media, but not for digital media companies, but for companies that sold research and data and measurement to media companies. So I didn't think I would go back into working in media until almost 20 years later, when I moved back to Atlanta in 2019, right before the pandemic. And I was looking for a small business to get involved with. I wanted to be doing something much more local. My previous roles had all been global roles. I'd spent a lot of time traveling, a lot of time working in other cultures, which was an amazing experience. But for some reason, I felt a draw to be on the ground in the local community here in Atlanta. Obviously, Georgia had become a much more significant state, both culturally, politically, and in the corporate world. Atlanta's always been pretty significant. So I stumbled across an opportunity. I met a guy who had started a group of community newspapers and was retiring and looking to sell them. And it was in 2020, right before the pandemic, is when we first started talking. And you can imagine, even before the pandemic, a lot of people weren't lining up to buy small local newspapers that were heavily reliant on print advertising. And so I got very lucky in terms of timing, saw a unique opportunity, and took a major risk in being able to do it. But it's turned out to be just an amazing, amazing experience for me.
Nick, can you tell me about Rough Draft Atlanta?
Yeah, sure. So Rough Draft Atlanta is a hyper-local media organization focused on really what we call the inner suburbs or close-in communities around Atlanta. We have five print publications that we print on a monthly basis. And then we've got a website, obviously, which is updated multiple times a day. And then we're really building out and focusing on our newsletter business. So we have a morning newsletter that goes out five mornings a week at 7 a.m. This is called Rough Draft Atlanta. And then we have a series of vertical newsletters that go out almost every afternoon. So we have one focused on seniors, one focused on art, one focused on food, one focused on film. We have a books one, we have one for the Jewish community. So we're continuing to experiment and grow out our vertical newsletter strategy.
And you said you worked a lot globally, but now community-based. Do you feel more of an attachment to your community?
Oh, tremendously so. I mean, Atlanta has become a global community. So
right.
Atlanta's a big city. We've got a lot of global institutions here. We've got a lot of universities, corporations, obviously with the airport being here. So it's changed dramatically from when I grew up as an Atlanta native. So Atlanta for me is the perfect blend of giving me the small town feel and the ability to walk down my morning walks with the dog and see the same people that I know, to walk into restaurants and see people that I know, but also then to have encounters that are much more serendipitous with people that are visiting from other countries or have moved here from other countries. So it really feels like a great blend of those things that drive me and drove me to work in global roles before.
When I was doing my research, I saw the growth of your organization. Did you expect that when you first started?
No, the growth has been amazing. We've been very lucky. I mean, I do think that timing plays a big part in any success. And there's still a lot more that we want, that I want to do, and that we want to do as a team. But we've been able to, to really grow. I mean, obviously our digital revenue has grown, significantly, dramatically, if you look at a chart. But that's really only part of the story for any media organization today. And we were starting from a very, very low base. I mean, the previous owner that I bought the company for just wasn't digitally minded. And I would say this to him if he was sitting here with me, and he would agree. They didn't really have a strategy to monetize the digital presence. They had three different websites, three different CMSs, three different ad servers. So it wasn't really a focus for how the company was run. So just by putting a focus on digital for us and then charging for it, not giving it away, we've been able to grow that line. But also we've created new products that I think we were not the first people to create a newsletter with emojis, but we were the first to launch one in Atlanta. And so that has given us a little bit of an advantage to really grow that. And I think that the market really needed it. And I created our morning newsletter, off of the playbook that the Morning Brew and the Hustle and those folks put out there, right? So it wasn't something that I just created out of from scratch. It was the playbook was given to us by other pioneers in the industry. So we just put a twist on it that made it, what we think is relevant and local to our communities. So that growth has been dramatic, and it's been great. But what the full story is that our print revenue has also grown from the pandemic lows, but has really maintained itself over the last few years post-pandemic. So if it wasn't for us having the print platform both as a marketing tool, as an engagement for readers, but also for revenue, then that digital chart, no matter how much it looks like a hockey stick, which it does, it wouldn't be the whole story, right? If we were, when I bought the company, about 1.5% of the revenue was digital. This year we're pacing, in the first quarter of 2024, we're pacing to 20% of our revenue being digital. Now again, that is only part of the story, because the story, if I told you we were only 20, that was, if I told you we were 20% digital but didn't tell you the rest of it, that might not be so great. But because print is holding steady, then it's a really good story for us, and we're able to add, launch new products, hire more journalists, do more stuff that we want to do.
Yeah, are you more, with the great work you're doing, are you more optimistic for the future of not only digital, but newspapers as well?
I'm optimistic, but I think that, in a nod to my favorite show, we have to curb our enthusiasm a little bit. I think we have to be. I have a lot of optimism but we're still small. I mean, our scale, we're not looking to expand beyond Atlanta. In fact, even when we think about expanding in Atlanta, I don't want to expand in communities that are not attached to the communities where we are. Because as you add geographically more places, it becomes much more complex to sell into those places. It becomes much more complex to cover those places. So I'm trying to keep things very, very simple in terms of our operations. So I'm optimistic, but we have a small expense structure, right? We're adding on, we're spending more in journalists, we're spending more in editors than we did when I bought the company, but I'm still cautious in what we're doing. So I think when I hear a lot of, and I study a ton of industry news and read a lot of industry news, which can at times be paralyzing, as you know, and depressing, I think back to what we're doing in terms of keeping it relatively constrained in my goals. And we have the ability to do that because we've got an engine of revenue coming in on print that allows us to do that in a controlled way. And when I say that, I mean a couple of things by it. We outsource our printing to a great partner. So we don't have to own printing presses. We don't have to own trucks because we distribute through the mail. Now, those costs keep going up, and we have to continue to deliver a good product to advertisers so that we can raise our rates. But by creating new products to engage folks digitally, whether that's through newsletters, whether it's through better display ads, and just, quite frankly, just raising our rates to match the market and match what the product I think we're delivering is, those are all things that are allowing us to do well, and that makes me feel optimistic.
And I know media is a fast-paced and stressful environment. What do you do to help your own mental health?
Well, I love what I'm doing, so I'm incredibly passionate about it. I will say, most recently, including last night and this morning, because we're so inundated with political news, especially here in Georgia, just our position as a swing state, and we're talking on March 1st, so we're 8 months away from the election, I'm kind of overwhelmed by political news, and that's saying something. So I do a lot of physical exercise, so whether that's riding the bike, going out for a walk, those types of things are important to me. I try to get some sleep, but that's not always the most, that doesn't always quite work out as much as I would like. I listen to a lot of music, so I'll just turn off the news and listen to music and maybe have a nice glass of wine to sort of unwind and talk rather than be just inundated, as I may have used to have done, with just constant streams of news coming in, whether it was through podcasts or listening to the radio or that sort of thing. So those are a couple of the things that I do.
What would you say to anyone who wants to follow your footsteps?
Well, I think that the thing that I realized, and this took me a long time, was, so I grew up working in media. And as I told you, I worked at the radio station when I was 16 years old. And I worked overnights, I worked weekends, I worked all through college. I covered the Hawks games when I was in high school. So I think I had an incredible passion for this stuff early on, and had a little bit of an aptitude towards it, right? When I was producing the morning show when I was 20, when I was in college, they were giving me the controls literally to produce the top rated morning show in Atlanta, maybe in the country, on WSB radio. So I think it took me a long time to realize that this is what I'm good at and I love this stuff. So I was chasing, I think, some things earlier in my career, which were all driven, if I'm honest with myself, around, wanting to make more money and sort of like looking at other people and saying, well, that's what I have to do, rather than, being true to things that I was great at. So it's a great feeling. It took me a while to get there, to be able to do something that I love, and that I think I'm decent at. So those are a good combination. That said, every day when I read, the industry news or listen to industry podcasts, it's overwhelming at times, because it's a very challenging time for media. So I think that if you look at, also there's a little bit of a piece with what we do at Rough Draft, and I have a luxury of not having investors and not having partners right now. So a little bit of what we do is built for an audience of one, which is probably violating every, market research, business school lesson, none of which I've taken. But, I say to myself, what do I want to read? What would I be proud of when I look at our print papers, when I look at our newsletter? What is something that I would want to engage with? And then we build from there. So it's a luxury to be able to do that, because it's my company. And I think that having that confidence now, at this point in my life, I didn't have much earlier. So I'm not sure if there's a lesson to take there, but that's how I sort of think about it.
Where do you want to see Rough Draft and all your outlets in the next 3 to 5 years?
Well, so we're 3 years in right now, and you know, the first, I've told the story anecdotally before, the second month that I took over, I was sitting at this desk and I was looking, you know, reading industry news, and our revenue dropped 20%. It was a February, so our revenue dropped 20% from month over month. And I sat down on the floor and I was like, what have I done? This was a terrible idea. So, you know, part of it is I just wanted to get through the first year. And so we ended up, we got our stuff together. We rebounded, we grew 12% that first year. We've grown every year since. So I, you know, I have a sticker on my computer, which I'm pointing to, which says meaningful, not massive. So I think for me, having the you know, establishing a place in the community, being in the conversations, being in the rooms that are, that were important conversations, and change is happening in our community here in Atlanta, is really important for me. Being able to hire more journalists and being able to hire more people has been, you know, incredibly rewarding. So we recently hired the editor of Eater Atlanta, which is a Vox Media product. So we were able to take, you know, to recruit someone from a national media company to come to our local media company because, you know, she saw the vision in what we were building and she wanted to be part of that. That vision on a local basis. And so if I can keep doing that, and we can keep doing it in a profitable way, then I'll be really happy with where we are. I don't have a roadmap to tell you that, you know, we're going to be at this revenue, or we're going to sell, or we're going to go public. Those aren't things that are even on my radar. It's really getting through, you know, another couple of years of proving out the model. You know, there are areas that we want to expand to geographically. There's areas that we want to expand to vertically. So we're just evaluating how that looks as we go on. Atlanta is an interesting, you know, a lot of the folks that I think you probably talk to in your work and on your podcast, you know, maybe in news deserts around the country. Atlanta is unique because we're not really a news desert. There are, you know, there's a large metro paper here that's reinvigorated and doing incredible things with significant investment from, you know, from their corporate parent. There's three or four local TV stations with robust news operations here. There are other local media, local websites that are around. There's other local print papers around. So, and there's radio. So we're and I'm probably forgetting things. So we're, and there's a bunch of nonprofit news organizations. Yeah. So Atlanta itself is not really a news desert. So it changes the dynamic. And I think that, you know, all of us are having the conversation around, you know, I think about things as there's a continuum. On one side is like really hard news. So development board meetings, board of education meetings, city council meetings. And those are essential for the operation of democracy, essential for the future of democracy, watchdog journalism. They tend to, unfortunately, in the market that we're in, the world that we're in, be terrible businesses. And we've seen that in many, many examples around around the country. On the other end of the continuum are things like food, real estate, arts, things that people really crave and seek out, especially in the world that we live in. When reading a story about a restaurant that's opening in your neighborhood, or a new show that's coming, or a music review, or real estate, is, you know, can be a real relief for people. So if that's the continuum that we work on, we want to be in the middle of that. And so that's sort of where we strive to be with our, you know, with our journalism. You know, we hear people say, you know, that our newsletter in particular, and also our print papers, have made people feel safe to come back to the news. So if we can give people a product that they're engaging with, and that also that delivers a little bit of all of that, you know, both sides of that continuum, then I feel pretty good about what we're doing.
How can people reach out and learn more?
Well, anyone's welcome to email me anytime. Maybe we can put the email address there.
Yes.
Keith@roughdraftatlanta.com. On social media, we are consolidated at @roughdraftatl. I'm also pretty active on LinkedIn. I think it's a great, especially B2B channel for folks. So happy to connect with people on there. And our website is roughdraftatlanta.com.